الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us this deen, and by submitting to this deen, we free ourselves from many shackles. In fact, if you think about the name of our deen, it's called Islam. And if you go back in the Arabic language, Aslama Yuslimu, you know, people say Islam means peace. And Salama, which is the base root of the word Islam, actually does have the meaning of peace. But if you look at the Arabic language more carefully, Islam doesn't mean peace. It actually has another component which is essential to understanding how we get to peace, which is peace through submission. I mean, Aslama Yuslimu is verb form 4. You know, if you look at the Western categorization of the verb forms in Arabic, and that means to cause peace. So Salama means peace, Aslama means to cause peace. And so you'll see some people translate it, I think more appropriately, peace through submission. Meaning when a person becomes a Muslim, they gain peace in their life. And what actually brings peace in their life is not just that they call themselves a Muslim, or that they happen to look like a Muslim, or that they happen to talk like a Muslim. It's that they enslave themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning they submit themselves to Allah. And when they submit themselves to Allah, then as a result, peace comes as a theme throughout their entire life. And if a person doesn't learn to do this, they remain enslaved, but they are not enslaved to Allah and they never achieve peace. I'll just give you a few simple examples. Many people you'll see in this world, and you may be one of them, are enslaved to their anger. Now, what does this mean? They have a problem getting angry. And when they get angry, they release their anger on their surroundings. And when they release their anger on their surroundings, it takes them weeks, months, or sometimes years to clean up the mess. Just give you an example. I received an email a few days ago from a person who got very angry with his relatives and just began to explode on top of his relatives, you know, unleashing his anger. He totally lost control of himself. And to this day, even though that happened years ago, to this day, he's separate from his relatives. Doesn't relate to them, doesn't talk to them, doesn't interact with them. So this person, actually what happened, his anger enslaved him. And you know, these people who have a problem with anger, it applies then broadly. It's not that they just get mad at this one person. They're mad at everybody. They're mad at the whole world. They get mad at their boss and they explode on their boss, and then they got to deal with the headache for the next 5 years while they're working under them. They get mad at their relatives, they get mad at the people in their homes, and most of the time, they sit mad at themselves, meaning they're just venting and they're angry and they just want to explode on someone. They just wait for an opportunity, they're burning up. So a person who has an anger problem, actually, they're not free. They're enslaved, but they've enslaved themselves to their anger problem, and they spend the vast majority of their effort cleaning up the mess that they make because of their anger. Now you see that a person who submits to Islam, you know, the Prophet alayhi salam, one of the basic pieces of advice that he gave his followers was, don't get angry. Learn to control your anger. So any person who comes into the fold of Islam, and by following the balance that Islam has prescribed, meaning the person actually spends of their wealth, they take time to recite the Quran, they spend time in the masjid, they spend time giving to others, they spend time in their prayer, that Islam will actually be a cure for their anger. The deen actually becomes a cure for their greatest, their greatest illness. And it's by submitting to the deen that that person's anger actually comes into balance. And then they become so much more free. So although they may say, well, you know, what is this? I'm not going to shackle myself down with some book that was, you know, revealed 1400 years ago in A'udhu Billah. Actually, it frees them. And this doesn't apply to anger. It applies to so many of the aspects of our lives. I'll take another example. You'll see that Islam teaches what? To be very careful about the tongue. Right? The Prophet ﷺ gave such simple advice concerning the tongue. فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ Just a few words. Either an individual should say good, or he should remain absolutely silent. Meaning the general principle with the tongue is that you don't move it until you've affirmed that what you're about to say is good and necessary. So what is it? Basically, we should think three times. We should think three times before we say anything. We should think, you know, in our minds before we speak. We should ask ourselves, I'm about to say this. Is this going to be something good or bad? Okay. Now let me check again. Is this good or bad? All right. Now let me check again. Is this good or bad? The third time that we've affirmed that this is something that should be said, that it's beneficial, that it'll earn me reward, that's the time that we should speak and move our tongue. Now people might say, oh, what are you talking about? This is a free world. We should be able to speak whenever we want. We should be able to tell anybody whatever we think. And what ends up happening is the person who does that, they enslave themselves to their tongue. Because what they go around saying things and they end up hurting other people's feelings. Or they say things that they know that they shouldn't have said and they hurt themselves in the process. And then what happens? They spend weeks to months to years cleaning up the mess. You know, the person who's free with their tongue and backbites, it might be a little fun when you're sitting together in the gathering, but then when the word goes to the person that you were speaking about, then you're afraid that what am I going to do when I see that person the next time? Right? And then, you know, you start saying, no, I didn't really say that. We start covering it up and making excuses. And if you're really sincere, you feel horrible. So these actions actually, they enslave us when we're not careful. And so when we look at the deen and we see the advice that's given concerning the tongue, actually what it's doing is it's liberating us. It liberates us. Although it may seem superficially that we're being restricted, we're actually liberated. And again, this doesn't apply to anger only. It doesn't apply to misuse of the tongue. It applies to the deen globally. Now you see how unfortunate the person is who's totally addicted to the life of this world. Right? I mean, Islam, if there's one thing that the Prophet ﷺ came to tell us, it was that the life of this world is just a complete facade. That we're here for a purpose and that purpose must be fulfilled and that there is a reward at the end of the trail. And that the person who gets caught up in this life and begins to think that this is a place of permanence, they've deceived themselves. Now you might say, oh, what type of enslavement is this? That you're not allowed to partake of these good things in this life, and that you're withholding yourself from these good things, and that instead you're taking your wealth and you're spending it on others. Instead you're taking your time and you're sharing it with others and showing concern for others. That's not a life to be living. You should be enjoying yourself. You should be living it up. But the funny thing is that the person who's enjoying themselves and living it up, they're never happy. They're actually enslaved to what? To their own desires. And we all know that desires never end. The person who has everything always finds the next thing that they need. Right? And we've talked about this before. The person who has 5 bedrooms needs 6 bedrooms. The person who has this car needs that car. The person who has a $1 million salary needs a $2 million salary. It never ends. And so they actually become enslaved, although they criticize the one who enslaves themselves to deen. So we should recognize that actually it's through the deen that we become liberated, that we attain peace. It's through this submission. And it is the greatest balance. Every one of the diseases that are found within human beings, spiritual diseases, are all cured just by merely practicing the basic tenets of the deen. You know, if a person just sits down and comes to the masjid, you know, comes on time, prays their sunnah, prays their farad, prays their sunnah, greets the people in the masjid, and goes home, that in itself is sufficient to cure the vast majority of diseases that we have. It's already built into the deen. Ramadan, it's designed to cure us. Zakah, it's designed to cure it's designed to clean our wealth and to cure us of our greed. The deen already has the key components of cure built into it. But we have to submit to it. You have to submit to something. Otherwise we will become enslaved by our surroundings. Whether it be becoming enslaved to our anger, being enslaved by our desires, being enslaved by our tongue, and the list goes on and on and on. So the greatest gift that we have is to enslave ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it actually liberates us completely. It liberates us in this life from the vast majority of traps that exist out there, and it liberates us permanently from the fire of Jahannam, which is the worst place to end up, obviously. And that's the true liberation. So we should be very cognizant of the fact that this deen is our gift, and that this is the blessing that we follow, and that we submit ourselves to it. Now, so who's actually the loser? You know, the loser is the one who has the opportunity, who had the opportunity to free themselves of all these shackles, and actually instead goes and handcuffs themselves to something else. We're actually the most blessed, but we actually are the ones who lose the most if we don't follow our own deen. So sometimes, you know, you look at people and you feel really bad. If you get to know them, you say, oh, subhanAllah, this person's just totally caught up in their life. They have no idea what's going on. They're addicted to the way people think about them. You know, or they're enslaved to what their friends say about them. Or they're enslaved to acting cool in front of people. And so you feel bad for them, but you say, okay, well, this guy has no choice. He's never seen anything else. But the worst is the Muslim. You know, the Muslim who had the opportunity to free themselves, and instead they get shackled by something around them. That's so sad. You know, how would it be if we know that we are free, and then we go and enslave ourselves to a lifestyle? Or we know that we're free, and then we go and enslave ourselves because we don't control our tongue? Or we know we're free, and we enslave ourselves because we don't handle our anger problems? So we should be very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually, this is what Islam is all about. We can't just not submit to it and then think that we're going to be free. The peace of being liberated comes through this submission. Meaning we have to submit to it to completely. We don't hide from the Sharia. You know, sometimes we don't want to hear, well, okay, we can't do this or we shouldn't do that. We don't want to hear. We just want to do what we want to do. We should seek out the Sharia. We should say, well, this is what's going to free me in the long run. So what is the Sharia saying about this particular instance? You know, I really want to engage myself in this financial transaction. And I want this thing so bad that I'm just going to cover my ears and not ask anybody about it. So that is a step towards enslaving ourselves. Whereas we should be seeking out the Sharia. We should say, okay, I'm about to engage myself in this transaction. What does the Sharia say about this? Is this permissible? Is it not permissible? Is it advisable? Is it not advisable? Is it in accordance with the Sunnah? Is it not in accordance with the Sunnah? And when we run those few basic tests against every decision that we make, if we submit to what the Sharia and the Sunnah mandate from us, we will be such happy people. We will be such happy people. And we will actually be liberated. We will feel wus'ah, you know, space and openness in this life, and obviously the reward in the hereafter can't even be spoken of. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be among those who liberate themselves by enslaving themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.